As always, it is my sincere pleasure to welcome you to Truth Be Told, our weekly audio teaching, compliments of handthefelt.com. Yes, these teachings are exclusive to handthefelt.com, but feel free to download them, share them, and pass them on as the Lord leads. They are free. I know everybody likes free. I personally believe that they're timely, and best of all, they are biblical. Who am I? Well, I am Michael Buldia, your host, and today I'm excited to begin a new journey with you. Yes, we are beginning a series entitled Rediscovering Christ. And the reason that I'm excited is that throughout this series, we will discuss at length the person, the ministry, the work, the nature, the power, the authority, the mercy, the grace, the sovereignty, and the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. There is no greater quest, in my opinion. There is no greater journey. There is no greater subject matter that deserves our complete and undivided attention in the entire universe than that of Jesus Christ. To know Him is our goal, our purpose, our quest, our desire, and since I'm planning for the series to be anywhere from 50 to 70 installments, I get the feeling that by the end of it all, by the time it's all said and done, we will know the person of Jesus Christ in a far deeper and more profound way than before. And in the end, this is my desire. As a backdrop to this entire series, we will be using one of my favorite passages in Scripture because it goes to the heart of how we ought to view the knowledge of Christ. The desire to know more of Christ for us as believers must be paramount in our daily lives. We cannot seek to know Christ once and be done with it. It must be an ongoing experience and something that we daily strive for. It must be a longing that is never satisfied, because the more we discover of Him, the more we realize there is yet more to discover. That is the beauty of our God. The more we discover of Him, we realize there is yet more to discover. While many today view Jesus as one-dimensional, as one adjective, be it Lamb of God, Son of God, Lord, Savior, Teacher, Prophet, the Way, the Rock, Jesus is all these things and so much more. This is why, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, we ought to willingly and without delay abandon less worthwhile pursuits, count all things as rubbish, in fact, and simply open our hearts to Him, pursue Him, know Him, grow in Him, and become more like Him. So why do this now? Well, quite frankly, because it is needed. Because there is a disturbing lack of Jesus, both in many churches, in Christian bookstores, on Christian radio, and other outlets that define themselves as Christian. They omit the center. They omit the end-all and be-all of our faith when they omit Christ. And for some people, other than Jesus being their homeboy, well, there are people attending service faithfully every Sunday that don't have a clue as to who Jesus truly is. They go to church, they hear the sappy sermon, they hear the good one-liners, they hear the jokes, they hear something about this Jesus person that, well, you know, isn't really delved into because he's so offensive to so many. And that's about it. People know how to balance their checkbooks by now in church. They know how to have self-esteem by now in church. They know about the widow woman and the fact that she made the pancake for the man of God first. But Jesus, well, that's one topic that is consistently missing from the pulpit pimping preachers because he's too controversial. As I said, Jesus is taboo. And we don't want to offend the sensibilities of the godless now, do we? We've grown to see ourselves wise in our own eyes. We've allowed a wicked kind of narcissistic pride to overtake our hearts, and we look at the foundations of our faith. We look at the cornerstone upon which the entire house is built with mild contempt and irritation and indifference. Well, Jesus is all right, but we can't just talk about Jesus all the time. People would lose interest. We have to tackle the important issues of our time, such as not, twittering while we're driving and making sure that we separate our plastics from our aluminum when we recycle. Yes, those are the important issues of our time, are they not? We have strayed. Yes, we have strayed from the singularity of Christ, from the all-important and paramount need to know Him, to fellowship and have a relationship with Him, and have relegated Him to a lesser office, a lesser rung wherein He shares space with such things as, having a positive self-image and having prosperous thinking and possessing an optimistic outlook and a robust self-esteem. We cannot relegate Christ to these vain and foolish things. He is not equal to any of them. He is above all of them put together. He is Lord and He is King, and we cannot relegate Him to a lesser office and a lesser rung wherein He shares space with the foolishnesses of our time. The doctrine of self has clouded our purpose and it has blinded our spiritual eyes. We no longer see the need, and it is a need, to know Jesus in all of His glory and give Him that rightful place of Lord and King over our hearts and lives. Because our eyes have become spiritually blind, we no longer see the paramount need for Jesus in our daily life. We no longer see the paramount need to give Him that rightful place in our hearts where He is above all else. Our purpose and our quest must be no less resolute than Paul's when he wrote that his only desire in this present life was to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, because only then will we be able to know and understand the fullness of Christ in all of His majesty. As I said at the beginning of this, there is a backdrop to this entire series, and I want to read it before we go any further, simply because there's a good chance that I might just get too excited and forget to read it altogether. So our backdrop for this entire series, which is at least 50 parts, our anchor and the premise from which this entire body of teachings began is Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, and they say this: "But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." This is the backdrop of this entire series, that heart-wrenching desire to know Him and that willingness to lay aside everything else in order to know Him. Just think of this: I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. No, Paul didn't look back on the things that he lost. He didn't look back on the things that he forsook and said, "Oh, they weren't worth it." Nope, the knowledge of Christ doesn't quite compare to having the new Mercedes and the new car and the swimming pool and the self-esteem. He looked back on all of these things. He looked back on all that he lost, and if you study the life of Paul, he lost a lot. He looked back on it all, and he counted it as rubbish, that he might gain Christ and be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, but that which is through faith in Christ. What a beautiful heart. What a beautiful heart. Now, while some have never truly known Christ, others still must rediscover him in the fullness of who he is, that they may serve him and worship him and love him with the depth and completeness that he rightly deserves. We must love Jesus completely, not half-heartedly, not once in a while, not on Sunday morning, completely. We must love him with the completeness that he rightly deserves. Paul the Apostle had come to this deep realization that for the sake of knowing Christ, for the sake of growing in him, for the sake of gaining Jesus, all the things that he lost, and he declares that he suffered the loss of all things, were as rubbish to him. I know I'm repeating myself, but this is important, because so often we're so set on the things of this earth. Materialism has become our surrogate God, and Lord forbid we lose anything for the sake of Christ. Paul suffered the loss of all things, and they were as rubbish to him. Why? Why? How could stuff be rubbish? Well, because the things, the stuff, the reputation, the job, his future outlook were all replaced by the one thing far greater than all these things put together, the excellence of knowing Christ. As I said before, lest we forget, Paul had a lot going for him, and what he lost was by no means anything to scoff at. Up until the point of his conversion on the road to Damascus, since the age of 6, Paul had been working towards one singular goal, that of one day becoming a Pharisee. He was a rising star, a Hebrew of Hebrews, blameless concerning the laws, zealous in the persecution of the church, taught in the best of schools, having learned at the feet of the greatest teacher of his time. Then came that fateful moment, that instant when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and all of his education, all of his zeal against the church, all the Pharisaical dogma that had been poured into his heart and mind over the years, all of it was done away with for the singularity that is Christ Jesus and the knowledge of him. There is no greater undertaking. There is no greater pursuit that any man can commit to in this present life than the knowledge of Christ Jesus, because eternity itself hinges on the knowledge of him. So how do we discover or rediscover Christ? Simple answer, we rediscover Christ by going to the book, by going to the Bible to see what it would reveal to us about Jesus. If we open our hearts and allow the Word of God to truly speak to us, if we open our hearts and absent preconceived notions or ideas, learn from the source of truth itself, then it is a guarantee that we will know him more fully, more completely, and more intimately than ever before. There are some who already believe they know everything there is to know about Jesus. There are others who have already made up their minds concerning the Christ and think there is nothing more to learn. Then there are those who realize that it would take lifetimes upon lifetimes to learn the fullness of an eternal God. In fact, it would take eternity. But although we can never fully know all of him, we can daily know more of him by continually pursuing the knowledge of him. I have often said that our knowledge of God and our knowledge of Christ is limited by our knowledge of his word, because although we see glimpses of the divine all around us, it is in his word that he most clearly reveals himself to us. It is in his word that we're able to discover the greatness of who Jesus is and what he has done for mankind. I realize that 60 or 70 teachings on the person, the nature, the attributes, and the virtues of Christ might seem like a lot to you. But I dare say, even with so many teachings, we will have barely scratched the surface concerning Jesus. As my grandmother used to say, however, a little something is better than nothing at all. So, why rediscover Christ? Why take the time and put in the energy to discuss the most discussed individual of all time? And yes, he is the most discussed individual of all time. Because, as Peter said, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. It is right, as long as we are here, as long as we are, as Peter said, in this tent, to stir you up in reminding you of Jesus, of who he is and what he did for you and me. I pray this series does stir you. I pray it stirs you to a greater commitment, to a closer walk, to a deeper knowledge of Jesus, to a more established and intimate relationship with him. At the end of this journey, I hope that we can say as equivocally and unashamedly as Paul said, that we gladly count the loss of all things as rubbish, for the excellence of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To know him, to truly know him, is not only to love him, but also to serve him, but also to worship him, to hope in him, to live in him, and move in him, and breathe in him. Until next time, my prayer is this, that you love the truth, that you live the truth, that you speak the truth, and that you spread the truth. This has been Truth Be Told. God bless you.